it's like this. First of all, infidelity, which is kufr, here we say it's ignorance. And the consequence of ignorance is knowing. That's how it works. Yes? But they are not the same. It doesn't work like that. Yes?
How, pray, should ilm and kiln both be one? Mm-hmm. Forbearance and anger. The ugliness of the script is not the ugliness of the earth. No, it is an exhibition of the ugly by him. It's a concept.
This is the
reasonable.
He said, listen, when you're talking about an artist who has created an ugly statue, what are you talking about here? This statue is not the consequence of that. You cannot say this statue is ugly, is the consequence of ugliness of the sculptor. It's not like that. This statue is the outcome of a process which will present ugliness because the artist wanted it to happen. So this is not a reaction. That's what it is. When you talk about the consequence and that stuff, it depends. You're talking about an action or reaction. Yes?
The power of the artist is that he can make both the ugly and the beautiful. So if I develop the investigation of this methodically, so that the question and answer become lengthy, the savor of love's mystery will go from me. The form of piety will be deformed.
Means what? First of all, who was talking here? In this paragraph, apparently somebody was talking. It looked like Rumi, but it was not Rumi. There was a fellow. And he started with what? Very strangely. First of all, he started with last night. He's talking about night, not the day. In last night, somebody asked me a very silly question, right? Then I answered. I told him this and that and that and that and that. And at the end, this is an argument. I better not open it. We better not go there, because it's a very long, long argument, and I will lose all the passion I have for love. This was the form of it. What does that mean? We know that there hasn't been that fellow, and nobody talked to Rumi, and this is not Rumi. Rumi is talking to us, is teaching us, right? In the paragraph that he brought up a nonsense question, he ended up saying you something there. First of all, in that question, remember that you could be fooled. You could be fooled just by words. Using this word and that word will make a hell of a difference. Let's say, okay, we don't know the exact difference between that, but we understood that Muqdi and Qada, which are the same word, almost the same family, they have totally different meanings. So, be careful. Do you remember book one, I told you this brain of you will try to cheat you? Bring in the questions. It never comes up with something serious. First, instantly, I have a question. And we go on and on, and could ruin your life. Because remember, here we are not talking about becoming very clever, becoming very knowledgeable. Here we're talking about becoming a good human being, period. And that doesn't need a lot of knowledge. You don't need necessarily to have PhD to be a good fellow. This is what we're talking here. So, remember, in this path that we are walking, or seriously in the path that you're working, and I'm trying to give you some orientation over there. Remember, always, always, that we walk this path with taste. Do you remember when I want to talk about this path, I always say, it's like we are going to enjoy Stanley Park. Who is looking for a shortcut? If it's not a Stanley Park, then the shortcut is good. Sounds good, right? If you don't pay attention to that. Here, he wants to have your attention. He's talking about different kind of knowledge, and the exceptional knowledge, which is good, the exceptional science, which is very good. And here, he stopped to make a point here in this paragraph that, remember, this taste is pulling us. We will not give up this for the arguments, long arguments, that will make you wonder and confuse. Yes?
It also seems like it's a restatement of the story of Adam, except the responsibility for eating the apple.
Pardon me, say that again?
It seems like this is a restatement again of the story of Adam, except the responsibility for eating the apple. But he knows that God is responsible for all things being, but he accepts responsibility for eating the apple.
Exactly. He doesn't bring in that the God created the apple, so ask him why did he create it like this, and blah, 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 blah. Yes, you have the apple, you're responsible, period. Do not let them, because this is always with me. The Pharaoh is my partner, okay? I talk about killing him, but in our attitude, the killing is not real killing. We just want him to surrender to become the second fellow, only to accept the existence of the first one, which is the real, which is what? Breath. Remember that breath? That breath that you're living with, and it's not yours. It's his. We are working with that. Yes?
A parable illustrating the fact that bewilderment prevents investigation and consideration.
Is it clear what he wants to declare here? You see, if you look at the paragraphs and dig in, it's quite obvious what he wants to talk about. He made a paragraph that, okay, there is this saying and this saying, they look opposite, but they are not really opposite. Give up that conversation. Now, let me explain something here. When you say illustrating, which means more than that, beyond, to make it clear, make it, what? What was that? When he brings in some words, it becomes tricky here, he would say, okay, let me explain to you that what is Heirat. And we know what Heirat is. Do you remember what Heirat is? Oh, we talked about it a lot. That's the fifth state. No, sixth. Bewildering. It says bewildering for us is not becoming silly, becoming stupid. But could you imagine that the bewildering will stop all the argument and saying this and that and that. That's why we like it. There is this state of mind that your brain is not really working properly. What do you call that state of mind? Sick, ill, crazy, right? But a lover is always like that. Now what do you say? Suddenly it's not silly because the meaning of the state changed. Because for lover, there is no black or white. Whatever beloved wants, everything is hanging in the air somehow, and the lover doesn't have time to sit down and argue philosophically that is it good that I'm in love or not? Let's hear it.
A certain man, whose hair was of two colors, came hastily to a highly esteemed barber.
What do you mean two colors?
Probably gray and black.
No. That's it. I don't know who did it, maybe. Because the word is two hair. And you know who is two hair? When somebody is bald, he has only two of these silly stuff. That's what it means. Two hair.
Two strings of hair.
So there is this fellow who has no hair at all but two. He will go to the barber and say, okay, make it fashionable. He will say, it's too much, I don't have time for this. This is the Caesar, you do it yourself. We'll cut it and hand it to him and say, now fashion. Okay. Yeah, it's a lovely joke. Now see, what does he mean by this good joke? Yeah.
He said, remove the hoariness from my beard, for I have chosen a new bride, a young man. Cut off his beard and laid the whole of it before him and said, do you pick it out, for it happened that I have some important business.
You see what happened? This is the bald guy. We'll go over there and we'll ask the barber that, please search and pick out all the whiteys in my beard because I'm going to marry a young fella. Yeah. The guy cut it out and say, you divide it, I'm very busy, I cannot go through that stuff. To do what? You're bald. Why should I bother?
But he's cutting
Did he cut off his beard?
And then asking him to sort it out?
Yeah. The guy came with a couple of hairs, white and black, and he said, I want to look fashionable, pick up the whites, I want only the black to remain. To a barber, a fellow who doesn't have anything, just that too little, it's not worth it, because when you pick it up, you're looking at the bald fellow. So it's not worth it. Doesn't matter, it's a joke. Now read it to see what he wants to say about it. Suddenly you are in that barber shop and you have pity for that fellow. You forgot it's in you.
That pick out is dialectic, for religious emotion has no care for these things. A certain man slapped Zayd on the neck. He had once rushed at him with warlike purpose. The assailant said, I will ask you a question, so answer me and then strike me. I struck the nape of your neck and there was the sound of a slap. At this point, I have a question in Concord. Was this sound caused by my hand or by the nape of your neck, O pride of the noble? He said, on account of the pain, I have no leisure to stop in this reflection and consideration. Do you, who are without pain, ponder on this? That he that feels pain has no such thought. Take heed.
Two jokes, right? The first one, the bald fellow will go to the barber that trim my couple of hairs here and he'll say, I'm sorry, I'm too busy for that. The second one is the fellow which will slap and say, okay, wait a minute, but where was the source of the noise really? Was it my hand, your neck, and things like that? And he said, what? These are the thought for the people who have nothing to do, for the people who don't have the pain. Do you remember I talked about that pain? Oh, he opened the book about the pain of Pharaoh, and he said, if you don't have that pain, you're dead. You should know that you're different from the best of you. You should know that you should be somewhere that you're not yet. If you don't have that, pity, pity.